Hello and welcome to Hit the Target, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshwan, and with me in studio today is European football analyst, Nigel Naika.
Great to be here, Desh, and welcome to all the viewers at home.
Shut. Nigel, we're going to run through some of the main talking points around the Euro 2024. Of course, Germany have booked their spots in the knockout stages, of course, winning 5-1 on the opening match day before a 2-0 victory over Hungary.
Yeah, it looks like they're using that home ground advantage to their advantage, and two big wins and one step in the knockout stages already.
Yeah, let's talk about Julian Nagelsmann's team. Toni Kroos, pass master, I think he's racked up maybe like 220 passes in just two fixtures.
Yeah, I think it's the reason why Nagelsmann had to beg him to get back into the team. His quality is just off the charts. I don't think there's a player in world football that comes close to what he does. And yeah, just adding so much calm to that German midfield.
Yeah. Let's talk about the youth prospects and Florian Wirtz. How impressed have you been with him?
I think super impressed. Wirtz's creative ability, and he's also got goals in him. He makes the players around him tick. So yeah, I think he's just what the German national team need.
Yeah, of course, if you look at Group A, Germany and Switzerland will go head-to-head in the next round of action. It's worth mentioning that Switzerland could actually finish as a group winner if they defeat the host nation.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity for them to top the group. And yeah, you know, you top the group, you might play a lesser quality team in the next round. So it is all to fight for in this last game.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about attacking duo of Brie Limbola and Shaqiri. I think the duo plied their trade in Germany not so long ago. Of course, Mbolo would spells at Schalke and Borussia Mönchengladbach, and then Shaqiri would Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I think both know the land well. Both know the stadiums and how the German fans are very raucous. So they will have to use that and use that in their team to motivate their players to get a result over this German team.
Yeah, you know, of course, it was Scotland that was on the receiving end of that 5-1 thumping. Now, Steve Clark has come out to the media and said that he only wanted 4 points from their first three fixtures. Of course, he feels that was good enough to progress. And I want to say it was a huge point for Scotland against Switzerland a few days ago.
Yeah, I think when you look at the quality that Switzerland have, for Scotland to hold them to a draw was really massive for them, especially in terms of their hopes for qualifying to the next round. So yeah, very valuable point.
Yeah, they're gonna square off against Hungary in the next round of action. Of course, Hungary shipping 5 goals across their opening two fixtures at these European Championships. Not the best, start to their campaign.
Yeah, not looking great for them. It looks like they are going to bow out the tournament. It's not looking great, conceding 5 in 2 games. And now you're going to play Scotland, who are raring to go for that final position.
100%. Let's go ahead and give me your predictions for Germany versus Switzerland as well as Scotland versus Hungary.
I think the Germans get the job done and they top the group. Be it winning or drawing, I think they will end up topping the group. And I think Scotland get the win over Hungary. I don't know if they progress with that. Maybe probably best third placed.
Yeah, you know, there are a few Premier League players, and you know, honestly, big names in our Scotland team. You feel like they should have the quality on the day.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you mentioned players like Scott McTominay,
Robertson,
Robertson. So a lot of seasoned internationals in this team. So they should get the job done.
100%. All right, let's look at Group B. Supposedly, the group of death. Now, Italy and Spain played out a thrilling encounter. Of course, the victors were Spain, but it was through an Italian own goal. What did you make about that clash?
I think the Spanish found a way in the end. I think Donnarumma was excellent, managed to keep the Spanish out, but they're just so technically gifted that they'll find a way through a very stubborn Italian defense in the end.
Yeah, of course, it was a plethora of substitutions brought on by both managers in that one. But I want to say, I think Spain had the better, players to bring on, better impact players from the bench compared to their Italian counterparts, one of which is Jose Perez. You know, of course, the man didn't quite hit his form in England when he played for Newcastle. But since he's landed in Spain, he's been a different player in his native home ground.
Yeah, I think he's always been an exciting player. Just never got the chance to fully show it. In the Premier League, we've got glimpses of it. But now in Spain, it looks like he's finding himself again and also providing for the national team now.
Yeah, you know, Spain are stacked with quality. You know, you just look at the two number eights in Fabian Ruiz, as well as Pedri over there. You got to play like Aymeric Laporte and Unai Simón at the back, like leaders in their teams, of course. Simón would, I think he's Villarreal in La Liga. And then you got Aymeric Laporte, formerly of Man City, now playing his trade in the UAE.
Yeah, I think the Spanish team is stacked, a lot of technical quality all across the pitch. And you've seen that in their opening games. When they're finding it difficult against low blocks, they find a way. Very good players in tight spaces.
Yeah. Do you think that they're going to maybe look to give a bit of the youngsters a chance in their final fixture? You know, Spain have qualified for the knockout stages, of course, 2 wins from their opening 2 games before they square off against a flattering Albanian outfit.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this will be a perfect opportunity to get some of the youngsters in, knowing that they've secured progression already. And yeah, I think the youngsters have also come to the fore. Look at Lamine Yamal, one of them. Just an excellent player at the age of 16. So it shows that they can show faith in them and also be repaid by them as well.
Yeah. You know, the opening fixture saw Spain dismantle Croatia, putting 3 goals past them without reply. Croatia, I want to say they tried to go for victory against Albania. Of course, the game was level at with Andre Kramaric's strike before an own goal put Croatia in the lead, denied towards the end. You know, I want to say in the dying stages of the game, but it was a dominant performance from the Croatians. Of course, having over 2/3 of the ball in that one.
Yeah, I think you're just a bit surprised with their results this time round in the tournament. I think Croatia a perennial tournament, a team that goes far in tournaments. So it's not the greatest showing so far. They might be in with a chance of possibly going through with a top 3 finish.
Mm.
But that too will be difficult.
It's going to be a tall order, of course. Yeah. They're playing the Italian national team next time, you know. Again, I have to mention Donnarumma's performance against Spain. Defending a 1-0 lead is honestly, it's never easy. It's almost like the most difficult scoreline to defend against, because you know, if the opponent just gets a sniff of goal and you know the score is 1-1, I want to say momentum shifts to that team that scored.
Most definitely. I think Donnarumma is an excellent keeper, especially in the nervy moments of games. So it's really important that he keeps shutouts and keeps his team in the game at all times.
Yeah. How important was that point for Albania? Because I want to say in the group of death, nobody really expected them to come away with anything. I mean, drawn in a group with Spain, Italy and Croatia, or just are European giants in their own respect.
Yeah, I think it was super impressive. We want to see a competitive tournament, and when these smaller teams, so-called, are performing and getting points off a Croatian team that is stacked, it really is good for the sport.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about Ray Manoj for a second. The Albanian centre forward has been scoring goals left, right, and centre. I believe he's in the playing is in Turkey, and he's only been outscored by Galatasaray's Mauro Icardi and Fenerbahce's Edin Dzeko this season. Manoj has been the man.
Yeah, I think it's scary numbers that he's putting up. He can also score all types of goals when I look at him as a striker. He tends to lead from the front and with goals. So a real gem in that Albanian team.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to have the freedom of the park against Spain? Do you think maybe they're going to try and go out with a bang and maybe get a result against them?
I think no doubt they'll want to use this last game as motivation, just to round up what is a good tournament and something that they can be proud of and maybe even build on in future tournaments.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, with that being said, give me a prediction for Albania against Spain as well as Italy versus Croatia.
I think Spain will still get the job done, and I think Italy knock out Croatia. They're too good for them.
Oh, gosh, imagine the Croatians led by Dalic finishing bottom of the group. That's That's not a good sign.
It's not, especially with them, we knowing that the quality that they have and the ability to go deep into tournaments.
Yeah. You know, one team that's also underperforming is Group C's England national team. Now, whilst they do have 4 points from a maximum of six, I want to say the performances did not reflect, wasn't a true reflection of the game.
I think not at all. I think everyone expected England to come out flying from the blocks, especially with the quality that they have. I think it to see them bogged down by the likes of Denmark and Slovenia?
Yeah, you know, I think it was Serbia in the Serbia, first fixture, yeah. who I want to say defended so well against a quality England team.
100%. And, you know, you when you get onto the international stage, you do want to be playing these big players, but at the end of the day, these are the best players in the world, and you do expect more from this English team.
Are they led by the best manager in the world?
I would say no. I think if you are the best manager in the world, then you would get the best out of the players on the pitch. You look at these players for their club, they look chalk and cheese. I think Foden has been one of the best players in the Premier League this season. And he's fighting for his life in this England team. It doesn't look like he's getting into the best positions, struggling out wide. And yeah,
but it's not really the Foden show, is it? I mean, you've got big names like Jude Bellingham as well. Harry Kane, Captain Harry Kane, was seen on the sidelines ushering his team on as they look to kind of build on their 1-1 scoreline with Germany, or the Denmark rather.
Yeah, no doubt. I think these are big boys across the pitch, and when you look at them struggling tactically, it just goes to show that they're not used to it.
Yeah.
Especially when Kane is coming from a Bayern Munich team who's well drilled.
Yeah.
Jude from Real Madrid, well drilled, and to be in a setup with top players and still be underperforming, it's not on.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned tactics. Has Gareth Southgate got it wrong? And maybe just touch on his squad selection. Do you think maybe a quick counter-attacking outfit, English outfit, could have been maybe the route?
Yeah, look, it is early to say whether he's got it wrong or not. I think they did mess up in yesterday's result with the 1-1 draw. I think if they got that, and we're talking a different story, they got 6 points and they're cruising. So in terms of that, it will be difficult to see. We will see how far they get into the tournament, basically.
100%. You know, it wasn't that long ago when you said that you think they have what it takes to go all the way, and how different the performances are, how quickly they've fallen.
100%. I think it's one thing having a great team on paper, but you've got to go out there and show it. And I think this has been the story with this English team for decades now.
Mm. The results just not going their way.
100%. Gems across the pitch just can't seem to gel. And
yeah. Let's look ahead to the next fixture against Slovenia. Can you see a bit of squad rotation in this one? Does Southgate maybe have to give those fringe plays? And, you know, when I say fringe plays, I'm referring to Cole Palmer. You know, I'm referring to plays like Jarrod Bowen. Maybe Eze needs a full 90 minutes. And then they can see what other players can do. Because, you know, you mentioned Foden. And, of course, Foden has just been voted the Premier League player of the season. And, you know, I've seen him tackling the ball and trying to win back possession. And I'm not sure if they're using the gems that they have to their best ability.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a tricky one for Southgate to rotate, because he's kept faith in the same team for both games.
Yeah.
So whether he has faith in these players to come off the bench and really perform in what is a crunch game, England have to win, because Slovenia are in with a chance of progression as well. So whether he trusts these younger boys to come in and make a change would be really interesting to see. I don't think he does, though. I think he sticks with his first team, and he knows that this is a must-win game.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, mathematically, England could finish as low as third in a group that contains Denmark, Slovenia, and Serbia. Of course, that is if Serbia or Denmark win their fixture against each other and Slovenia beat England. They'll actually drop to third place, which I want to say doesn't make for good reading, especially if you're an Englishman.
Not at all. I think it's a position you don't want to find yourselves in, knowing the riches that you have in your squad. And yeah, especially with the pressure that they had coming into this tournament, I think the players need to also stand up and be counted as well.
Yeah. Have you been impressed with Serbia of late? You know, I want to say team that isn't maybe stacked with quality, but does have a few gems in the likes of Mitrovic, Dusan Tadic, Vlahovic.
Yeah, there is some gems there, like you mentioned. I think Tadic has been one of, personally, one of my favorite players growing up. Just in a creative spark.
Mm.
And yeah, they have some gems. Sesko as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Benjamin Sesko, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like they have real quality and the potential to hurt you.
Yeah. All right, Nige. With that being said, give me your prediction in this one. Is it going to be England or is it going to be Slovenia? And is it going to be Denmark or Serbia?
I think England get the job done by hook or crook. The Slovenian team have impressed me as well. So considering that England haven't been the best, I think they just get over the line.
Okay.
And I think Denmark are too good for Serbia.
Mm, 100%. All right, well, we're going to have to wait and see how that one plays out. Of course, the race for qualification in Group C promises to be a very tight battle. Looking yet to Group D, France, I want to say, stumbled in their performance on opening match day. It was just a 1-0 victory for them against an Austrian team.
Yeah, I think you expected more goals from this French team. When you look at the attacking prowess that they have, Kylian Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele, Griezmann, I think it's names that...
A lot of experience amongst those three.
100%, and just scream out attack. So you would have expected more goals, but they've got the job done on opening day, and yeah.
Yeah, you know, of course, you have to discuss Kylian Mbappe's injury. I believe he's broken his nose or a fracture.
Yeah, it looks like a nasty one, a lot of blood. But I think he should be back, if not for this game, probably the next game or the knockout stages, wearing a mask. So he's one of the key players. And yeah, sooner they get him back, the better.
Of course, Netherlands take on France later today, of course, at the time of recording. It's a very enticing encounter. It could actually throw a spanner in the works as the top two go head-to-head.
Yeah, you never want to discount this Dutch team, especially with the kind of players that they have. And knowing that potentially you could top the group with a big result tonight. So, yeah.
Still very much open, isn't it?
100%.
Mm. Okay, well, you know, the Netherlands, of course, did come from behind against Poland in their opening fixture. Also not the most convincing win when you look at Wout Weghorst, I think a 32-year-old striker has to come off the bench and win the game for you.
Yeah, I think they just got the job done in the end. The Polish team did surprise me the way that they played. I think that they took the game to them, defended well as well. So, yeah, for the Dutch to get over the line in the end was great for them. And, yeah, big result.
Yeah, you know, of course, there was no Robert Lewandowski in that Poland team who, I want to say, almost got a result against the Netherlands team. How do you think they're going to fare in their upcoming clash with Austria?
Yeah, I think Lewandowski is a massive miss, one of the best strikers in the world. So, any team would miss them. I think the quicker he's back, the better for them and the better their chances are of progressing.
Yeah. You know, I want to say, like, whilst Austria and Poland recorded defeats on opening day, it was anything but that. Those two teams are still showing a bit of fight, a bit of, you know, like, winner-takes-all attitude. And it still could be a hot contest for qualification so far.
Yes, no doubt. I think especially because I was most impressed with the quality in this tournament with the so-called smaller teams.
Yeah,
they're coming here to play. They're not fearful. They're brave. They're taking on these big nations. And yeah, I think that just goes to show with Poland and Austria.
Yeah. All right. Well, give me your prediction as those two go ahead tonight as well.
I think Poland get the result, but it's going to be a difficult one.
Yeah, and Netherlands, France, do you see that one maybe ending in a stalemate, or can you see a victor?
I think France get the job done. They know what's on the line to get over to the next round, and yeah, big statement win.
Yeah, of course, direct qualification is on the cards there.
No doubt, and Deschamps and his team know what's on the line.
Yeah, you know, speaking of big teams and knowing what's on the line, Belgium, their golden generation, was rocked on the opening match day. Of course, Kevin De Bruyne and company saw defeat.
Yeah, I think goes back to the competition in this tournament that we talked about. No one saw that defeat coming for Belgium.
Yeah.
another team with the riches to choose from.
Yeah.
And De Bruyne, I think he needs to take more responsibility for his national team, the same that he shows for Manchester City.
Yeah, you know, but there are a number of big name players in that team. Of course, you said like Riches, and you know, Riches indeed. You look at Jeremy Doku and what he's doing at Man City, especially terrorizing those Premier League defenders. Leandro Trossard as well for Arsenal, big player for them, for the Gunners in Arteta's chamber. Romelu Lukaku, striker who has played maybe a decade in the Premier League and I think still contracted to Chelsea, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, these are big boys playing for massive clubs. And I think you'd expect more from this team when you look at the quality that they have.
Yeah, they do have a lot of young players, of course. There was someone from the bench. I'm talking about your Bakayokos and Luis Openda. They've had ridiculously good seasons for each of their clubs, respectively. Can you see them maybe coming on and replacing players like Lukaku, and maybe De Bruyne even gets a seat on the bench?
Yeah, I think when you looked at that first game, it did call for some changes. It looked like they were a bit leggy. And like you mentioned, these two have had phenomenal seasons for their clubs. So why not bring them in, breed in some fresh blood?
Yeah, you know, Romania currently topped the group. They, of course, had a very dominant performance against Ukraine, hammering the nation 3-0. What did you make about that? Bit of a shocking result.
Yeah, I think no one saw that coming either. Romania have been good coming into the tournament in qualification as well. So just to humble Ukraine, another team that has a few gems in Zinchenko and Mudryk. But yeah,
a lot of leaders for their clubs, if you think about that, especially the goalkeeper. I believe it's Real Madrid's Lunin.
Yeah, who has had a very good season for Madrid as well. So no one saw that 3-0 humbling coming at all.
Yeah, you know, the stats tell a very different story, though. I remember when I was having a look, Ukraine had something crazy like 70% of the ball, and yet it was three clinical finishes from the Romanians.
Yeah, it just goes to show you can dominate all you want. It's putting the ball in the back of the net that counts, and I think Romania were clinical, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, Ukraine, though, they are going to be paired against Slovakia in the next round of action. Which way can you see that ongoing? Do Slovakia build on their lead and maybe look to confirm their place in the knockout rounds?
I think they do. I think they picked a massive win against Belgium and managed to shut them out. And considering that Ukraine have faltered so badly against Romania, the pressure is on them. And I back Slovakia.
All right. And then, of course, the other fixture in the group sees Belgium take on Romania. Which way can you see that one going? Is it going to be a reaction performance from Belgium?
You're hoping so with the quality that they have in their squad. But I also don't see that coming as well. I think Romania have what it takes to get a result against them. And force it to go to the last game day.
Yeah, 100%. There's also an enticing encounter waiting for us this weekend. Turkey take on Portugal.
Yeah, it's an exciting game. I think the Turks were excellent in their first game. Couple of bangers in there. Arda Güler is such a good player. And then you look at Portugal who, yeah, they got the job done, but I think you want more from that team considering the players in that squad.
And got it over the line, just they did. I mean, Francisco Coenção left it as late as you can, virtually the last kick of the ball. The man nets the winner for his country.
Yeah, I think it was a fairy tale moment for the kid to come on and get the winner with just so little time left to play. And yeah, big shoes to fill as well. You know, you're replacing Ronaldo, and to come on and snatch the victory for your country is just massive.
Yeah. Do you want to maybe elaborate on that Portugal attack? Because, you know, it was an own goal that kind of put them back in the contest, and then a last minute winner. It doesn't really speak about that Portugal attack, which contains the likes of Rafael Leão, Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, I want to say even João Cancelo because he's known to get forward, Diogo Jota, Pedro Neto, and of course I haven't even mentioned the GOAT, Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's kind of scary when you read that. I think any team reading that will be shivering in their boots if you're coming up against that. I think the one issue for me was Ronaldo and Leao. They don't really press that much. They are luxury players, and no doubt they deserve to be luxury when they have that quality.
Yeah.
But it does have a knock-on effect on the rest of the team. And so hopefully that if you are going to accommodate these players, they are providing goals and assists to compensate.
Yeah, I want to say the Turkish-Georgia game was a bit of an open-ended one. Of course, we know the scoreline finished as 3-1, but I want to say there were over 30 shots. It was something crazy, like 36 shots in that fixture. It was kind of like a shot every odd minute.
Yeah, I think it was personally one of my favorite games of the tournament. I thought it was end-to-end. Not to only mention the cracking goals that we witnessed, but the shot creation and just the all-out, no gloves going at it from both teams.
Do you think those young guns of Turkey are going to give these Portugal giants a run for their money?
I think they can. I think they have the potential to do so. Possibly even hold them to a draw. It's going to be, this result is going to be shaping the group a lot.
100%. Of course, it is the top two going head-to-head. Which one can you see that tie going?
I think there's going to be a draw. I think they cancel each other out.
Yeah. Score draw?
Score draw. I see goals in
Definitely goals in this one, eh? Yeah. All right. Well, you know, speaking about not holding anything back, Georgia, of course, gave Turkey a run for the money. Do you think they're going to have more or less that same game plan when they take on Czechia?
Yeah, no doubt. I think they want to go for it. They have nothing to lose, just like they went for it again in their opening encounter against Turkey. So yeah, I think go out there, try and get a result, and you know, you could be in a better position heading into match day 3.
Yeah, do you think it's a game for Kvaratskhelia? You know, the Napoli bond man has been the rumor of transfer speculation for seasons. Is this his game? Can he maybe reignite that interest?
Yeah, very possible. I mean, you've seen it in the past where players have had a good international tournament and they do get that big move. And I think he has the quality as well. He's one of the wingers that can go on either side and produce moments of brilliance. So, no doubt.
All right. Which way can you see that fixture ending?
I think Czechia have too much for them. It's going to be a difficult game for Georgia, but I see Czechia winning, yeah.
All right. Well, Nige, it's been a pleasure unpacking all things European football related with you. We're going to have to wait and see how those predictions plan out. And we'll be back to unpack at the final round of group action. With that being said, from all of us in studio, thanks and goodbye.
Cheers, gents.